Hey, you guys.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Frustrated Grad Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Hughes, the black dude with bad news and cat blues. And I'm welcoming my co-host, writer, movie fan, and scat man, Tony Hoffman.
Scat man?
Yeah.
I hope you're referencing, like, music and not the other thing.
I mean, it's open to interpretation. Skibbity sure. Beep, dum 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 dope. So, how's your work and your week been, Tony?
It's been good. We have been hit with the summer here at the end of the summer here in the Chicagoland area. Very humid, very hot.
I believe racists call it Indian summer.
Isn't Indian summer usually like October?
Well, yeah, I guess it's like when summer goes away for a while and comes back unexpectedly when it should be like fall. So I guess maybe it's a little early for that.
Yeah, I'm trying to fit in as much summer activity as I can this weekend. I went to the Lakeview Taco Fest yesterday.
That sounds good.
Ironically, there were lots of guys there, so I kind of missed the meaning of it being called Taco Fest.
I mean, they didn't specifically advertise fish tacos, so I mean,
they had
a lot of beef on the scene.
I bought some tacos, and I also got some duck fat fries, some fries made in duck fat.
Do those taste different than regular fries? Are they more not savory?
Really.
Okay.
They had cheese and bacon on them as well.
Okay. Well, that's a plus. I haven't had anything duck. I always wanted to try duck, but I just haven't.
I don't know. The guy, you would probably be able to like figure out the difference in the taste.
But yeah, I figured duck specifically, the meat would taste different than like chicken or something, but I haven't had it.
Duck oil as opposed to the regular vegetable oil or grease that's fries are fried.
I didn't know ducks created their own oil. Some hard working ducks, I guess.
Oh, we do. Now we do. And I'm here sipping on some nice refreshing apple juice as well.
All right. Well, for a more cultural spin, I've been sipping on Jumex this morning.
Jumex?
Yeah, have you never heard of Jumex? It's like the name would imply. It's Mexican juice.
The
stuff that comes in cans, the nectar juices or whatever.
I'm thinking of like those Mexican sodas that come in like those glass bottles, like the
ones. Oh, those are. What do they call it? It's something with a J. Juanitas or something like that.
Uh-huh.
That's something different. But yeah, Jumex I like because it's like, it's almost like a smoothie as far as like how thick it is. And it's, I think they have strawberry, banana, guava, mango. My favorite, I think, is the straight strawberry. But
speaking of like smoothies, like, I think like over a week ago, I got like a lemonade slushy from 7-Eleven that was so damn good, man.
Really?
I tried to go to another 7-Eleven to find out what they just had, like the standard like wild cherry and like cold flavored ones that are too sugary.
Ones.
Yeah. But that lemonade, man, that really hit the spot, man. I can't believe it was only at this one like 7-Eleven downtown that had it.
You gotta pay that extra penny per ounce tax
extra
for it now.
Per ounce.
I signed up for
small price to pay.
Yeah, I signed up for a Sam's Club membership, and they had like, they had this stupid thing where you're supposed to get they advertise a free sundae, but then you have to do this like stupid scavenger hunt thing. Like, okay, go to the produce section. What's the color of the sign above the organic bananas? And for most of them, I just guessed. I was like, forget this. I'm not going to look for these bananas. I'm like, well, most of these signs are white. So I'm just going to say it's white. You're like, oh, you got it wrong. Yeah. One more attempt. I was like, okay. Well, maybe green since it's organic. And that was right. Then I had to guess the price of like, or I had to guess which Maker's Mark, whatever their store brand, like what baked goods were on display, and I just guessed.
And this is for a sundae, like a chocolate sundae?
It was a four berry sundae. So then I was like, okay, I just guessed cookies, and that was correct. And I was like, okay, it's going to be easy. Then they had me guess the price of whatever those pre-made cooked chickens. I was like, well, luckily enough, I actually
just rotisserie chicken.
Yeah, I'm buying one of those, so I know the price of that. It's $4.98. And then I think the last one, which they tried to get me with this one, they were like, okay, now what is the name of the pharmacist? I was like, God damn. I was just gonna say Dr. McDoctorface, but so I had to go over to the pharmacy and find the name of the pharmacist. So
look at his little name tag.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So I finally did it. So the thing was actually more than just the sundae. It was a free slice of pizza, a drink, and the sundae. And their pizza slices
of cards and sugar.
Yeah. Their pizza slices there are like the size of an entire plate. It's just like, and we got the meat
like
lovers.
Cheese.
Yeah. It was like the meat lovers one. So it's just like bacon and sausage just falling off of it. So it was like, it was worth the scavenger hunt.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope the calories that you burned looking for it was worth the ones that you were putting on your body.
They probably don't even come close to equaling that, but it was worth it. But it was supposed to be free with the scavenger hunt. I was like, well, you got to pay 30 cents for the county tax. I'm like, free isn't even free anymore. That should be the takeaway for life in general. Like, freedom isn't free. So
speaking of freedom, did you see the horrible sounding mother, Darren Aronofsky's newest film over the weekend?
I mean, the name sounds weird, but I haven't seen it, but I do like that the previews are very vague, which is like something that no other movie does anymore. It's like, hey, here's the entire movie. No point in seeing it now. So I like that aspect of it.
According to what I've heard, that vagueness kind of continues throughout the movie and even after it ends.
Okay, so they went beyond just like smart marketing. They went all the way into like Legion territory with their confusion, I guess.
I guess if you're somebody that enjoyed some of his other movies like Black Swan, you'll like this one just for the sort of.
I mean, isn't he the same guy who directed The Wrestler?
I believe so.
So like, I like that, but I don't know anything else from him really.
The Noah that came out a couple of years ago.
Noah.
Russell Crowe.
Oh no! I intentionally avoided that movie, so I don't. Yeah. I don't know.
Stay away from the biblical crap. Yeah, it just doesn't sound like anything that I would go out to the movies to go see. I guess I'd wait for it on Netflix or streaming or whatever.
Yeah.
But people are kind of like upset about the fact that they tried to like piggyback this movie with like It as, you know, like a horror film, which
yeah.
is not.
Okay, because that's kind of the vibe I got from it. So, well,
it got if you follow Cinema Score, which is like audiences like rating films after they see them. You got a cinema score of F, which is, you know, like the
that's pretty bad.
Worst possible score.
Or does audiences it mean something different for them? Does F mean fantastic on Cinema Score?
I don't think that's what the F stands for.
Okay.
But the critics loved it. Oh, the critics, oh, they did.
That seemed like the type of thing the critics might like and audiences wouldn't
absolutely.
So much. Well, let's talk about the movie that you did see, the aforementioned It. You finally saw it this week.
Yeah, number one again, made a $60 million, bringing its total to $218 million domestically.
All right.
All right.
How did you like it?
I liked it, but I was disappointed that there was no orgy scene with
the children. All right. Well. I'm sorry, you have to wait for the next one. Maybe you know, they'll like, get it right eventually.
I've been, like, listening to, like, people talk about that, and, like, I guess, like, in the book, it's not as creepy as it sounds.
I've heard a little more description of it. It's like they're lost after they defeat Pennywise, and they don't know how to get out of wherever they are, and they think
they're in the sewer.
Yeah, they think they'll get out by losing their childhood or whatever. So. Yeah. It's
like that's something that kind of it would need to stay on the page. I don't think that you could ever get away with that.
Plus, it seems like it's filled with graphic descriptions of how each boy's penis feels. And I heard a specific detail about the fat boy, and it's just like, well, I didn't know if
okay.
It
let's
would
talk
fit.
About the stuff that was actually in
okay. All right.
Apparently. Bill Skarsgård, who played Pennywise, there was a very disturbing scene, a flashback scene that was cut out of the movie, I guess.
I think I may have heard of this one, but what was it?
Let me see here. He mentioned that it was during an appearance on Variety's Playback podcast.
All right.
He said that it was a scene from a throwback that goes a smudge further back than the 1980s, and it's he says there was a scene we shot. There was a flashback from the 1600s before Pennywise was Pennywise. The scene turned out really, really disturbing, and I'm not the clown. I look more like myself. It's very disturbing and sort of a backstory for what it is or where Pennywise came from. Okay. That might be something worth exploring in the second one. The idea is the it entity was dormant for thousands and thousands of years. The flashback scene hints on that.
Okay. Because, like, there's a lot of stuff that, like, also from the book that's less talked about than the orgy, surprisingly enough. But, like, there's a whole thing with, like, what it really is and where it came from. And the whole thing with the giant space turtle.
Yeah.
So.
The Stephen King, the link to his universe with all of these novels that he's written.
Yeah. The Dark Tower.
This turtle that, like, what the turtle vomited up this entire
universe or something like that.
Universe.
It's something along those lines, which that alone makes me interested to try to maybe take on the book, but like 1,000-something pages, it's pretty daunting. I haven't read a book of that long since I read Mick Foley's biography. I think Have a Nice Day was pretty long. I don't know if it quite reached 1,000 pages. It might have been like 900, though.
I'm very interested to see like what they do in the second movie, because part two of the miniseries, which I vaguely remember, I remember it being pretty crappy, and I remember like some of the characters, specifically Mike, not turning out so well. In the second one, because wasn't he like he was in like a not a mental hospital, but he stayed in Derry while everybody else left, and it kind of took a toll on him.
Something like that, yeah. Because I know I think the bully was in like I don't know if he was in a mental hospital, but he was like in a nursing home or something. But I think he ends up killing himself in the second part.
Did he die when he fell in the well or?
No, I think in the original one he lived to be old like the kids, like the members of the Losers Club. I think the bully ages up. Actually, you know what? I think it was one of the kids who actually ends up killing himself. So I have to go back and revisit that. I've seen a lot of clips from people like when they're talking about the current one. They'll go back and like talk about some details of the old one, but I haven't seen the original one in full in a long time.
The director of the movie, it, he talked about how he wanted he wants Mike to be like kind of like a junkie as an adult in the second one, and he's already like.
Me for the time change of going from like the 80s to the present day as adults, that would sound more appropriate.
Mm-hmm. And he already said that he wants Jessica Chastain to play Beverly, even though she looks clearly more like Amy Adams.
Yeah, she's like, everybody is talking about, like, that girl looks a lot like Amy Adams. But, I mean, you'd probably have to cough up a little more money for Amy Adams these days if you want to get Lois Lane to be your Beverly.
You really think she'd cost that? I think the Jessica Chastain would be more, you know, viable, more credible than actress myself. But
I mean,
I see what you mean.
I'm just going based on looks. I mean, yeah, the thing of, like, they didn't care about that in the old one. They had the whatever the fat kid who was playing them back then, who looked kind of like a Biff Tannen type, and then they aged him up to be John Ritter. So that's kind of a, they don't.
Yeah,
really,
I don't
care.
Think he's gonna be like a chubby. He's gonna be a chubby kid.
As well. I mean, so for that one, they could pick like John Cena or something. They're like, you know what? I learned from. I'm not gonna be a loser ever again.
Exactly. Laid off the carbs, just started scarfing some protein. And
yeah, he's a protein. Weight. Yeah, making all kinds of gains.
Yeah, so I think that this was a nice sort of capper to a weak summer. You get this nice big movie here at the very end of the summer.
Yeah,
and I'm happy for its success. I'm happy that horror movies are kind of doing well this year with Get Out in this movie.
Yeah, so they're gonna be. I like how they're more spread out now so that you don't have to go see them all in like October and November. So, that's always nice. But yeah, so that's it for it.
We get, the Kingsmen, the Golden Circle, this Friday. I'll be seeing that.
Yeah, it looks good from, the little bit that I've seen. I've tried to avoid seeing any additional like clips and things because
I don't know,
they put out so much they put out so much extra footage now from movies, like, oh, here's a clip, a 2-minute clip from the middle of the movie. It's just like, why? I don't want to see that.
Do you watch the Netflix show Narcos?
No, I've heard a lot about it, but it just doesn't appeal to me. I haven't ever been into like those drug type of shows, unless, as I said previously, it's about like a down on his luck Midwestern dad who's been forced into a life of crime, something like Ozark or Breaking Bad, something like that.
It stars Pedro Pascal from Game of Thrones. He of
the Red Viper,
head smashing.
Yeah, he's got his
by the mountain
head, head exploded like a watermelon.
Well, apparently the location manager, Carlos Munoz Ortel, was unfortunately murdered.
Wow.
While scouting for season 4 of Narcos,
he's really living that life.
Mexico.
Yeah.
Outside of Mexico City, he was found in a vehicle hit with multiple gunshots.
Wow.
Yeah. The motive for the shooting is unclear. Portal reportedly was scouting solo, and he was working in an area prone to murders. So.
All right. Yeah, that's the type of warning you do not ignore. Like, hey, this area is prone to murder. Maybe I'll avoid that the location, but.
Portal was an experienced location manager who had worked on numerous Hollywood productions in Mexico, including Tony Scott's Man on Fire, Mel Gibson's Apocalypto, and the latest Bond film, Spectre.
So, tell me this. With this incident happening and with...
Who will be their new scout manager?
Well, even with that, but with him scouting this location and being murdered there... Does this make it a good or bad location to shoot in? Because it damn sure makes it authentic.
They're actually moving from Colombia to Mexico. They've been shooting in Mexico, I guess, for the first 3 seasons.
Okay.
And Mexico is they were scouting for places in Mexico, so I guess they're going to stick around.
All right. So, all right, well. Sad to hear about that. Now, I guess deaths on potential sets aren't restricted to just stunt people anymore. A lot of
over the Over the past decade, drug-related violence in Mexico has forced some film and TV productions to relocate or cancel their shoots. So,
and
there's that.
It continues.
Hey, you gonna watch the Emmy Awards tonight?
Had no idea what was happening. I've seen several commercials.
Researching for stories.
I had seen several of the commercials with Stephen Colbert, but it never registered to me. Like, oh yeah, that is a thing that is eventually going to happen.
Are incredibly unfunny, by the way.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I thought you were funny, Stephen. Like,
I'm bringing my pet the kangaroo to the ceremony.
Yeah, it's like, I guess if he's not talking about Trump, then he maybe loses some steam. So I expect there to be a lot of Trump talk in this opening monologue somehow, some way.
Predictably.
Yeah.
I expect the winners and nominees to say something about...
resist!
Diversity in Hollywood, terrorism, oil, Native Americans, sexism in Hollywood.
Yeah. You know, the chestnuts, the old standards.
And nothing will be done about it.
Although I feel like the people who really go in heavy on those are the Oscar people, but I do expect a fair amount of that at the Emmys. At least when they do it at the Emmys, it'll be slightly funnier, usually. But yeah, that's all you can really hope for with that.
I bring up whether or not you're going to watch the Emmys because a recent survey suggests nobody actually watches those Emmy-nominated cable or streaming shows.
I'll be the judge of that. I mean, it depends on what the show is. Like, hey, I watch Game of Thrones. I don't watch Transparent. I know that gets nominated a lot. Watch Orange is the New Black.
That gives credibility to the survey, wouldn't you say?
I mean, that's one that I can think of for sure that's always nominated that I don't watch. But it's a demographic thing. It's not about it being Emmy nominated. Maybe the Emmys. I mean, just like most award shows, I'm sure they're out of touch. Especially when you nominate something like, I'm trying to remember, I think Orange is the New Black, like at one point I think they were classified as a comedy. Then they were classified as a drama. So I don't know what they are now. So that like shuffling of stuff like that, I'm sure that's going to mess up.
A new survey reported by Variety suggests that the average American couldn't care less about the golden age of TV, with most respondents answering that they've never heard of Emmy-nominated shows like The Handmaid's Tale, Master of None, or Atlanta. These aren't TV free snobs or total Luddites either. Of the 500 respondents questioned by Katz Media Group, 51% had active Netflix subscriptions, which makes it extra baffling that 76% said that they had never heard of Master of None, which has been heavily promoted on the service. Surprisingly, the one series that most of the respondents either watched or had heard of was Modern Family.
Yeah, the most played out of them all.
Responded, which always gets nominated, which is when it shouldn't be.
Show that's been on for like over 10 years and is extremely played out. Of course, they've heard of that one.
Quality. Yeah. Network series like This Is Us and Blackish did relatively well, too, at least to the extent that people knew they existed. Things get more dicey out in streaming or cable land, though. Only 5 or 6% of those surveyed had ever watched The Crown or Handmaid's Tale, while cable shows like Westworld and Better Call South pulled in 17 and 18% respectively.
Well, these people are just losers. It's just, like, that's what we've established so far. Like, yeah. You know what I watch? Modern Family. Westworld. What's that? So, yeah, the majority of these shows they're not familiar with. I've seen pretty much all of them. I've seen one episode of Handmaid's Tale. I'm trying to get more into it, but it's a little dark. But I know all these other ones so far.
I just don't like the fact that they're not in an easy to access place. Like, you gotta go to Hulu, you gotta go to Netflix, you gotta go to Amazon, you gotta go to CBS online, you gotta go to HBO, you gotta pay this service and this streaming service to.
I mean, that's one way to do it. Some people know a guy named Cody who can help them out with that stuff.
Like all these hoops you gotta jump through, you gotta contact your guy Cody just to watch a TV show as opposed to just turning on your TV and going to the channel.
Yeah, well, Cody makes it pretty convenient, but it's not for everybody.
He also makes it illegal and gets you into some trouble.
I don't ask Cody about his business, and he doesn't ask me where that cord is going. So,
I'm sure that if you get arrested and you're on trial, you won't rat him out either.
No, you know, snitches get stitches.
All that just to watch Game of Thrones.
Hey, I say what I watch. I've watched Game of Thrones quite legally this year for about a month.
This year?
A month.
For about a month.
It was half of the season. Yeah, so cut me some slack. Anyway. But yeah, I know most of those shows, but like, there's the people who are among us who are cultured. It's a small group, and a lot of people just want.
What do you explain then?
The people who watch something other than Modern Family and The Big Bang Theory, which somehow manages to be like the highest rated show on television for years.
I thought you were going to say, like, people who watch The Handmaid's Tale and fucking some of those other prestige shows.
Just anybody who watches more than just network TV. It doesn't, I'm not even going to, like, lean it all on one show, like, okay, this is prestige TV and you suck if you don't watch it. But, like, if you don't even know they exist, then you kind of got your eyes closed because, like, they show commercials for these things on network TV. All of that just washes over you. Without you even giving it a second thought, then advertisers might be kind of upset by that because they think this passive viewing of their commercials and all this stuff is selling you on stuff that clearly is not working because Hulu is advertising just like Palmolive or all these other companies are advertising. So
I don't watch like The Handmaid's Tale or any of those other like really heavy dramas simply because they're heavy dramas and I want to watch something that's relaxing and
yeah, that's what's kept me away from continuing it. Yeah, The Handmaid's Tale, like, it was heavy for that first episode that I watched. Mm-hmm. It was interesting, so I'm going to get back to it eventually, but it's not like the first thing I would go for.
Because even like something like Westworld, it's been kind of like criticized for like the writing being sort of like, not top notch, but at least you get some murders and you get some action and you get some, some relationship and you get like the
existential
whole
angst.
Exactly. The whole story with the Tanny Newton character, discovering that, she's a robot and all that stuff.
Easily everything accepted. Isn't for everybody, but some things are. Some things get recognized by certain groups, like the Emmys. They're not just going to focus on network TV every year and just completely ignore this stuff. So
especially when the stuff on network TV is not good.
Yeah. So, like, maybe, like, I understand. Maybe you don't know these shows, but check out the Emmys and say, oh, this show won. Maybe I should give it a shot.
It hasn't worked for the past several years.
Apparently not.
And I was gonna say like in defense of like you can say like, oh, we're gonna nominate these great shows that nobody watches so people can watch them. Well, that's not gonna help their telecast at all.
I mean, it's not. But what else? Like, you're like, we're gonna nominate all these highly rated shows that are on network TV, and like the people who watch them don't necessarily want to just watch the actors from their favorite show get awards every year if it's predictable.
I think they do.
I mean, what are the ratings for the Emmys compared to something like Big Bang Theory? Is that same audience just continuing to watch that?
I think like the whole main issue with people not watching like the Emmys or even the Oscars is that they don't know who any of the actors are or the movies or TV shows that get nominated.
Yeah, but like I don't know if that's gonna really change if they just focus on the shows they watch because I don't really hear like the Emmys advertising beforehand, like, hey, these are all the shows that are nominated. Are you going to watch now? Like, you hear about them after it's over. So that's already too late anyway. Like, hey, all the network shows won all the major awards. People will find that out after they have not watched the show already. So it's kind of, there's some work that has to be done if you want to bring people to the table in advance. And so far it's not working, I guess. I think it's
they're
just...
They're still not going to watch him. Watch these low-rated prestige dramas, even if they, you know, are nominated and do win.
Yeah, but that's the problem. I mean, the problem with leaning everything on ratings and having that be like a major thing is that standards are different now. And not that these shows are worse because they have lower ratings; they're more niche programming. That's why when most of us look at things like Big Bang Theory with such broad, stupid comedy, like, oh, I don't understand why people watch it. But when you whittle it down, it's like, oh, this is something you can easily understand even if you're not paying attention to it. So that's why it reaches a wide audience. Dumb kids who are like, hey, they're wearing superhero shirts. And old people are like, haha, that guy's a nerd. So all those people fit into that bucket of like, okay, this show is for ages 3 and up. Like shows like Westworld, like you actually have to pay attention to it. Like, hey, I think they're like on different timelines. These people have never met each other. So like people don't like to think. That's why these shows.
The Big Bang Theory does very well in syndication. I can tell you that's a lot easier to sort of like kind of like have it on when you're like going to bed as opposed to, you know, something like Westworld, which you just mentioned, or
yeah, but that's the
or
weird
some
thing.
Of these other single camera shows.
Yeah, but that's the weird thing. So it's like they like it's easy to
the
watch.
Laugh track is soothing.
Yeah, but it's like okay, what if we took that into other genres or other mediums? Like okay, there's a lot of music out there that's like okay, I'll have this on in the background, but I don't really care about it. So what if everybody just made music like that? It's like, okay, instead of somebody having a well thought out.
I think that's
out,
kind of an apples and oranges.
It's a different comparison, but it's like, how do you measure, like, shows get picked up and canceled based on ratings, but the people who do watch some of these shows, they'll, like, they're the most passionate fans, and they might buy the merchandise for the show, or they might buy the show when it comes out on
DVD. What's a show that you enjoy kind of like watching kind of like casually whenever you need a laugh? Like what's like some...
I'm trying to think of a show that I don't have to pay attention to enjoy.
Like a sitcom or whatever, like whatever. I don't know if you watch Family Guy or
no.
Simpsons reruns or...
Simpsons
you know,
is one of those shows.
Men.
I mean, I guess Simpsons is one of those shows, but like for me now at this point, it's like if I'm not fully invested in like watching the show, I just don't watch it, period. Like, yeah, I could watch Simpsons in the background, but the alternative is just I don't watch it because like, well, this is an episode that I don't care to pay attention to. So I just go to something else.
I still like watching old Seinfeld or Friends repeats on like TBS or I know on like WCIU here in Chicago, they have their nightly like reruns of like, you know, Rules of Engagement or like Two Broke Girls or whatever. It's like they're dumb, easy sort of shows to follow. The comedy is sort of easy to follow without really.
Yeah, I think the only one of those that I give a shot to is Seinfeld. But even then, I still kind of pay attention to it. So like, I guess I just have a different mentality.
Yeah, because
they're a lot
good.
Of TV
yeah.
watching.
You pay attention to it because they're. Even though these shows have been off the air for like almost 20 years, they're still better than anything else that's on fucking network TV.
Yeah, I have a higher tolerance to like being patient and focusing on the story because like I watch a Seinfeld episode and listen. Then afterwards, I listen to a podcast that, like, this guy Rob Sesternino does a Seinfeld podcast currently where he reviews episodes of Seinfeld. So I watch an episode and
Frasier,
listen to the podcast about that. Yeah, I know there's Frasier one, too. But I don't know if there's a lot of stuff. I'll just turn on the TV and just be like, okay, this will be on in the background. Shows I'll do that with, there's something like like a talk show, like Windy City Live or something. Like that's the only thing.
Oh God, don't do that to yourself.
Or like The Chew. Like I'll turn that on and be like, okay, I don't have to pay attention to this, or like the Today Show. But I don't really do that past like morning hours. If I'm watching something like after lunchtime, I'm going to pay attention to it, or I'll just turn the TV off. Like if I want to do something and not watch and not pay attention, I'll turn on the radio. So it's like different people, I guess, do things differently. Like somebody will turn on their TV and walk away from it and just listen to it. If I'm just listening, I'll turn off the TV and turn on something else. But
staying on the Emmy theme, you would think that being a black man with an Emmy award in your hand, it would make it easier to catch a cab, but apparently not for one black TV writer.
I mean, in some areas, it'll make it easier for you to get a shot because, like, oh, that Emmy looks like a weapon.
Let's see here. Trayvon Free.
Oh, that is already starting off wrong.
He's a writer for Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. He recently won a Creative Arts Emmy for Outstanding Writing for a Variety Special. I believe that was last week.
Okay.
Still high on his huge win, he took to the streets of New York City with his trophy in tow to go about his day. When he tried to hail a cab, however, he was quickly reminded of the harsh reality that despite his latest accolade, he is still racially profiled. Posting a photo on Twitter, he explained that the cab he hailed bypassed him, with the driver looking directly at him as he slowly strode by and stopped to pick up a white woman who was not too far ahead.
And, you know what? I'm going to play it safe this time. Sorry, Blackie.
posted a picture of him on Twitter, and he wrote, "Standing in the street holding this, and a cab driver looked at me, drove past, and picked up a white lady 10 feet behind me. Amazing." And then the next one
is, but what we don't hear is that the white lady was holding an Oscar.
Yes, the chances of me robbing a cab driver with or without an Emmy are zero.
Well, progress. I mean, black people are getting Emmys but not getting picked up by cabs. So, one step at a time.
Maybe that's just another reason why Uber is just kicking taxis' asses, and why I wouldn't give a shit if taxis just got put out of business by Uber or Lyft.
That way all the racist people can see your face first and be like, you know what, I'm not going there. So I'm not going to waste this guy's time by driving past him.
Exactly.
So, well, better luck next time, Trayvon. At least being a Trayvon, things could be worse. Anyway. at least it didn't go that way. That's what I would do. If my name was Trayvon, every morning I woke up and be like, yep, still doing better than any other Trayvon I know.
How did you think he felt before the year, 2012?
Probably felt like, I have a cool, unique name. And if I ever see it show up in the news, I'll be proud and excited. And then he saw it show up in the news. He'd be like, whoa, I might need to hide. Change my name.
No more hoodies.
Yeah. I got to stop drinking Arizona iced tea and eating Skittles. And I can never have them in combination. Like, Arizona iced tea and Skittles are the new fried chicken and watermelon.
That just sounds like Arizona iced tea and Skittles. Like, eating that at the same time, or you just drink it.
I mean, I don't know how he did it. Maybe it's like a Diet Coke and Mentos situation, or like a traditional Coke and Pop Rocks. Maybe there's some kind of magical formula with that, but we'll never know.
Speaking of which, Arizona iced tea was 2-for-1 at Walgreens this past week. Did you stock up?
So they were two for a dollar?
Yeah, is that your beverage of choice or not?
I've had to back away in recent years because of obvious reasons.
Not as sugary as most drinks, but
yeah, I enjoyed that about it, but, you know, you can't be caught in public with that anymore.
Speaking of caught in public, your favorite teenager, smart mouth teenager, the Catch Me Outside girl, apparently has just signed a Heat record deal.
I just watched her video last night.
She has a video already?
I think she has a couple of them on her YouTube channel. Her rap name is Bad Baby, and Bad spelled B-H-A-D, Baby, spelled B-H-A-B-I-E.
It looks very sort of like Middle Eastern. Like
Bat baby.
Arabic.
Bat baby.
Like Bad Pabi.
Yeah, so that is, that song was interesting. It's called These Hoes, spelled H-E-A-U-X, These Hoes. So it's very sophisticated with her spelling.
Atlantic fucking Records.
I mean, do they have credibility anymore? I don't, like, the last person I could think of who was signed to Atlantic was like T.I. Who else is on Atlantic now? I don't know. I think Twister was on there at some point. But, I mean, who signed to what label doesn't matter to me. Because Person Everybody Loves right now is not signed to any label. Chance the Rapper, he's not repping anybody's colors. He's not gang affiliated. So,
moment.
It doesn't matter.
14 years old. Her song, These Hoes, spelled stupidly.
Yeah. Hoes.
H-E-A-U-X.
Yeah.
These Hoes.
Hoes.
Made the, it debuted at number 77 on the Billboard Top 100 last week, making her the youngest person ever to make the chart. It currently has 27 million views on YouTube, and she's already cashing in, making at least $30,000 for meet and greets. And she was approached back in February by reality TV producers.
Man, I need to go on Dr. Phil and punch my mom.
I like this, the end of the article on Jezebel.com. It says, no fucking way am I getting tickets for the album or the single or the concert. But yeah, I'm complacent. And yeah, that makes me a hoe. She can catch me in the YouTube views.
How about that? Yeah, so, I mean, good for
America.
You have
America.
To, you have to cash in on, you got to use what you got to get what you need, to quote.
Yeah, but, I mean, I hope she saves up.
Yeah.
It reminds me so much of that Simpsons episode where Bart the I didn't do it kid.
I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
It's the catch me outside girl.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Say the thing. Do the thing. At least she was able to find something else. Like, she didn't just have to lean on Cash Me Outside.
But that's exactly what she's doing.
But it's not like the song is called Cash Me Outside. It's
No, but this song, people are, like, listening and buying this song simply because of the Cash Me Outside notoriety. This song is going to drop like a fucking rock after, you know, a couple of weeks.
I mean, at least starting at 77, it doesn't have far to fall, so.
Started at the bottom. She's still here?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Have you been paying attention? You've been paying attention to this Amber Tamblyn thing where I think she mentioned, like, years ago when she was a young actress, like, she was at some, I think she was at some party with her friend, and she was approached by old ass James Woods trying to, like, pick her up or hit her on her, and she obviously turned her down because she was underage. And she mentioned it on Twitter because, like, James Woods is a fucking psycho conservative now.
All right.
And he denied that it ever happening, and now she's on the offense, you know, writing an article, an op-ed in the New York Times.
All right.
Yeah, printer.
So, is James Woods our new Bill Cosby? We're going to take some of the heat off of old Bill. I mean, I haven't thought of Amber Tamblyn since. Like, what was she in?
Is, the Sisterhood, like, of the Traveling Pants?
No, I'm thinking of whatever.
Joan of Arcadia, the CBS show?
No. Even farther back. Yeah, I haven't. Like, I haven't thought of her in years and years, but
she's married to David Cross, Tobias Funke.
Tobias Funke, the man who blew himself. That's an interesting bit of trivia. You know, a lot of creepy guys in Hollywood. Just another one being exposed. Nothing really new there.
In her article, she talks about she talks about like overall sort of like harassment in Hollywood as an actress. She mentions an experience when she was 21 on the set of Joan of Arcadia, where she was entering the office of the show's producers to discuss a crew member who kept showing up to my apartment after work unannounced, going into my trailer while I wasn't in it and staring daggers at me from across the set. The show's producers, as Tamblyn writes, responded by saying, "There are two sides to each story." And her whole point is that women do not get to have a side; they get to have an interrogation. So,
yeah, that tends to be the case. So good that she's exposing this stuff. You go, girl.
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard to be a woman.
Yep, sure is. All right. Okay, here's something we should talk about. One of us is an Apple person. The other one is an Android person. What do you think
of this? I wouldn't call myself an Apple
person. What are you podcasting with right now?
Well, I'm talking to you via Skype on my iPhone 7 Plus.
Ha, ha. Gotcha.
That makes me an Apple person because I own an Apple product. You own an Apple product. You own an iPad. I've never had an iPad.
Yeah, I own a secondhand iPad that I got for like less than $120. How much did you pay for that phone, sir?
For this, I think it was like, because it was my contract had expired, I think it was like maybe like $100 for a new 2-year contract.
All right. So
it wasn't full price.
So would you consider an Android phone in the future?
Maybe. I mean, I'm certainly not going to get this fucking iPhone X or this iPhone 8 stuff, especially with the iPhone X being $1,000 and, you know.
Yeah.
Who pays $1,000 for a fucking cell phone?
Yeah, it's like, it's a really weird mentality because, like, their computers cost $1,000 and people think those are expensive. So why would you think somebody is going to buy a $1,000 phone? Just... I don't get it.
The big deal with the whole iPhone X is that it is ditching the Touch ID, where you use your fingerprint to lock your phone. They're replacing it with, I guess, face recognition ID, where it recognizes your face, it scans your face, and you use that to activate it, but...
So now the only person who can hack your phone is your twin.
Exactly.
It's like, good luck, Hodge twins.
Mary Kay and Ashley Olsen.
I think they look different enough right now. Lucas Brothers probably would have a hard time. Tia and Tamara, maybe not so much. They've had a few kids between them. They might have different shaped heads now.
The Winklevoss twins.
Yeah.
Bella twins.
No, they look way different now. They should have boob ID, where you just scan your chest, because that's very hard to replicate, I think.
This article in the Huffington Post, where they talk about the twin magic. Oh god! Since most facial recognition is built on visual pattern recognition, it wouldn't be able to reliably differentiate between identical twins. Basically, if parents have trouble telling their twins apart, so will facial recognition algorithms.
Yep.
Phil Shearer, Apple's vice president of product marketing, says the company worked with professional mask makers and makeup artists to ensure that lookalike forgeries would not trick the software. But he conceded, of course, the statistics are lowered if that person shares a close genetic relationship with you.
Yeah, so don't let your twin borrow your phone. Make sure you... I mean, there should be some kind of secondary authentication. Like, okay...
The secondary authentication is get a Samsung Galaxy phone.
Yeah, I have no problem with that whatsoever as an alternative. Because I know with Android, they make you put a pin in as an alternative to like the fingerprint thing. So it should.
Yeah, my iPhone does that. In addition. Too.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, because I can only use like the right thumb from the Touch ID, but if, you know, if that doesn't work, or if I want to use my other hand, just put in the little PIN number.
Yeah. So, good luck with that. I didn't know there was, apparently there's a Twinsburg Twin Days Festival.
Oh, you saw that yeah. link at the bottom of the article.
Yeah. Where's Twinsburg anyway? Wait.
What town, what state does it say it's in?
I'm checking now. It just popped up with this gallery. I'm not sure. I would assume it would be somewhere around the Twin Cities, but maybe not.
That would make perfect sense.
Yeah.
Which assumes that it's not. It's in Ohio.
All right. Twinsburg, Ohio. At least Ohio has something going for it. I mean, they got the rock and roll.
Hey, the Indians just won 22 games in a row. That's an American League record.
All right, I'm very happy for them. Good job.
Stick ball.
Yeah, with your stick volleyballs.
So if you ever meet Hannibal Buress, maybe you and him can
share a
check
phone.
That out next August.
We can go half on an iPhone X. I think being around that many twins at one time would probably be creepy.
Orgy.
That was not exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking something along the lines of The Shining. And just, let's see, like two dead-eyed twin kids staring at me from across the way.
I was thinking more of like the Wizard of Oz, those rumors that those are little people. They all got together for the first time. They allegedly had an orgy.
All right. That might be a good place to end on. Is there anything else you want to hit on before we wrap up for the week?
A couple of launch dates for some new Nintendo games were announced. It's not annual, but bi or whatever the term is for a couple of times a year, the Nintendo Direct.
I think that's biannual.
Semi-annual. Nintendo Switch, their Nintendo Arcade Archives began this week with the original Mario Brothers game. All right. So I guess if I owned a Nintendo Switch, that would I would know more what Nintendo Arcade Archives is, but
you should have.
I haven't.
Should have had some kind of like barcode implanted into that tattoo that you could just take it to like a Toys R Us and they just scan it like, oh yes, right this way, sir, and they let you into their secret Nintendo Oasis and they just give you all that you want for free.
I'm gonna get, after I pay on my credit card my bill next month, I'm gonna get one when the Super Mario Oasis comes out at the end of next month.
Is it Oasis? Super Mario Odyssey. That's
Odyssey.
What it is. Yeah. Yeah, you should, as soon as you grab that, you should do some gameplay videos. And then I can share and just watch you play the game.
Live vicariously.
Yeah, exactly. That's the closest I'm going to get to it for a long time.
Aw, do you want a credit card? If you don't mind me asking, or have you?
Did you say a credit card?
A credit card. Or you have several of them.
This podcast is called the Frustrated Grab Podcast, by the way.
That makes
sense. Some things that come but along with that title.
Your credit score should be fantastic then, right?
Yeah, one would think that. Sure.
As long as you pay your $25 minimum each month.
Yeah.
That's a small price.
25 times 25. All right. Anyway, enough about that.
But I digress. Enough about that. Doom comes out holiday 2017. A couple of other games that Mario Party, the top 100 for the DS, Minecraft came out this week. But, since we don't have Nintendo Switch or Nintendo 3DS, it's kind of pointless to even talk about that.
Yeah, it just makes me think about like the Apple announcement Makes me just think about the things I don't have. This is slightly more attainable than any Apple product.
But you are actually, you're actually a Nintendo man. You're a Nintendo person.
So. Yeah, but you're the Nintendo dude. I don't have it branded on my body anywhere. You have it. Like, you're permanently marked, unless there's some kind of weird zombie apocalypse situation where you're bitten in your leg and you have to amputate it, Herschel style. Yeah. Then you may not be branded anymore.
Or I could just pay to have it removed.
Yeah, but
and stay alive.
I think you still wouldn't be able to be buried in a Jewish cemetery, but there might be other reasons for that. But anyway,
if I had only known. I have one story that I want to talk about before we go.
Right.
Very important story. Can't believe I'm actually talking about it now. A gym goer has to call firefighters to slice up dumbbell weight. He had managed to get his penis stuck in while training in Germany.
When I saw this headline and you heard you say slice, I was getting nervous.
Comes from the Daily Mail over in the UK. A man who stuck his penis in a dumbbell weight spent 3 hours surrounded by firefighters who sliced him free with power tools. They sliced the weight, not his penis.
Yeah.
very important to mention. Angle grinders, a saw, and a hydraulic rescue tool usually used to prize crash victims from vehicle wreckage were used to smash the 2.5-kilogram disc on Friday. This was after doctors were unable to remove the weight following the mishap at a gym in Worms, Germany. The victim had to be sedated as firefighters from the city of Worms smashed the weight to free his penis, according to Metro. Firefighters shared a picture of the smashed weight, which I think you can see of that, on social media with some helpful advice for anybody attempting to squeeze their manhood into tight spots. Please do not imitate such actions. Well, it depends on what the tight spot is, sir.
Yeah.
The incident follows a man's penis being cut off by a circular saw in Gloucestershire.
Yeah.
Surgeons were able to save the genitalia after he was rushed to Bristol South Men's Hospital on Monday, September 4th. The emergency surgery took 8 hours to complete. I can't believe you didn't talk about that.
Yeah, it's penis removal from objects is always like the top of my search criteria. So
why would you even put your dick in like one of those little weights that you slip on the end of the barbell?
It's all about gains, son. Gains.
You're trying to like dick lifts or whatever.
Yeah. Again, gains are gains. Like if you
if
it ain't hurting, it ain't working.
Is that actually legit? I don't know.
I don't know. I know it's all kind of like weird genital feats of strength that some people do, like people attach weights
like ankle,
to their testicles.
Ankle weights or dick weights? You just wrap it around?
Yeah, I don't know the real benefits of that, but unless you want an incident painful like this, I would avoid that at all costs. But maybe people can send you the pros and cons of such activities on your social media. So how can they get in touch with you if they wanted to share in this type of regime?
No pictures, please. No pictures. At Anthony Hoffman on Twitter. You can find me, Anthony Hoffman. Just search Anthony Hoffman on Facebook. And you can check out my pictures from the Lakeview Taco Fest on Instagram. At Tony Hoffman Shy. That's Tony Hoffman. C-H-I.
Mouth-watering pictures, by the way.
Lots of meat.
Yep. Speaking of meat. Anyway, you can follow me on the Twitter at Zach Reviews. That's Z-A-C Reviews. If you want to, you can search me on Facebook at Zach Hughes. I'm on YouTube, where I'm doing pretty much a video every day of the week on youtube.com/Zach Hughes. Yep. And you can follow the podcast on Twitter at Frustrated Grad. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/frustratedgrads, and you can check out the audio version of the podcast on iTunes, Google Play Podcasts, or Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. If it's not on there, email me at frustratedgrad@gmail.com and I'll figure out how to get on there. So if you like what we're doing, go to iTunes or Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star rating. If you really like what we're doing, then go to frustratedgrad.com and donate by clicking the PayPal button. With that, I will say this is the end of the video version of the Frustrated Grad podcast. Thanks for watching. And if you're listening on audio, there's a little exclusive coming up. And that's all you get for today. So, what time is it? Bonus time.
I thought you were doing the whole popcorn thing from It with Jordy, but...
Wait.
Like
oh. Pop. You'll float too. It was really disturbing just how his bottom lip is just like dripping with water because it's in the drain. It's just like drooling. Like, all right. So,
what are we talking about?
Ticket. Take it. There you go. That should be the sequel. Take It. Or It Follows, Part 2.
Or It Chapter 2.
Well, you gotta be basic. This one should just have a crossover of It Follows and It. Because between the two, I think It Follows was a little bit scarier. But anyway.
Hot take.
Yep. Scolding. Okay, so we talked about It. We talked about Emmys.
We talked about them hoes.
These hoes. These hoes don't watch the Emmys. Hoes spell H-E-A-U-X.
There you go.
These hoes don't watch the Emmys. That's a possible one.
These
Emmy hoes. Or what about these Emmy shows? And we spell it like hoes, just with the S in front of it. S-H-E-O-U-X. These Emmy shows. How's that? It's a very cerebral one. You have to.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to know what is referenced.
Exactly. It's like, I don't think people are gonna know.
Emmy. Where that comes from. Or Emmy hoes with the S in parentheses. I don't know.
I don't think those characters will show up on the hashtag. I don't think it could be a hashtag with those.
Well, the hashtag would be something else, but the title could be. Let me see. iPhone hoes, because it has the X in it.
iPhone X hoes with the two... The X
hoes. No.
These iPhone X hoes.
These X hoes. That's another song. Like all my X hoes calling me. Let me see. Cash these hoes outside. Ramblin' Amber Tamblin'. That would be her MMA name, I guess. Let me see. I didn't even talk about the Mae Young Classic. I finished watching that this week. It's actually pretty good.
I haven't watched a single second of it.
I enjoyed it. It felt like it was going to be a chore going into it, but then I got invested, and I'm happy with the winner.
How much of it did you watch?
Watched the entire. What was it, 8 episodes, and then the final match.
It's only like over half an hour, right?
Most episodes are like 40 minutes. Longest I think was like 53.
What did you think about? We didn't talk about Vince McMahon and Kevin Owens. What did you think about watching a 72-year-old man get hit headbutt hard on purpose?
I enjoyed it. I loved every minute of it. I thought it was kind of weird to finish it with a frog splash because it's kind of like a baby face move. And also the guy who's like guarding him like dove out of the way when Kevin jumped. It's like, well, good bodyguarding you were doing. Like you do that for the president and Secret Service just dives out of the way. Like, oh, I almost got shot.
Yeah, I saw I saw Stephanie was at the Mae Young Classic. She didn't seem too concerned about the health
full
of
body
her
suit.
Collar.
Not so much. She was more concerned about that cat suit, baby. Let me see. What is the title?
Penis lift.
Gains. Making gains.
Penis gains.
Dick gains. All kinds of gains. Because that's a Hodge Twins reference. All kinds of gains. Yeah. All kinds.
These iPhone hoes.
Mother, may I have some hoes? What about just... these iPhone hoes. Because then I'll just capitalize the X at the end of hoes. So most people will understand at least half of the reference. All right, so the podcast is going to be called... Should just be These iPhone Hoes or just iPhone Hoes? I think iPhone Hoes. So tweet at us with the hashtag iPhone Hoes. Spell H-E-A-U-X. And capitalize that X if you can. And with that, I'll say that's it for the bonus portion of the podcast. Thanks for listening. If you listened all the way to this point, congratulations. So
you win?
Yeah, you win. And your prize is the infamous NPR No Prize.